Welcome to today's podcast. I'm your host, Elena Noel, founder and principal of Inspiring Accountability in the Workplace. And you can also get a ton of resources in my book, Inspiring Accountability in the Workplace, available as a paperback, ebook, and audiobook on Amazon. Today, we are talking about what does accountability mean in the workplace? I'll be sharing with you content from a blog series that I just created, and we're going to be exploring three aspects of accountability: taking responsibility, compliance, and ownership. And these are synonyms that are often used interchangeably with accountability, but as you'll see, and as we'll share in this podcast, there are actually more effective ways that you can work with these three problems without considering them an accountability problem. There's a more productive way that we can approach these, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. So let's get started. Well, there are many definitions of how accountability is defined in the workplace. Arguably, many are technically correct, but some are less useful than others when it comes to improving results, which is the top reason accountability gets requested or demanded in the first place. Let's start with the definition of accountability, as defined by Google. Of a person, organization, or institution required or expected to justify actions or decisions. Synonyms: responsible, liable, answerable, to blame. This traditional accountability is the kind that triggers our creature brain into fight, freeze, or flight mode. This tried and true reaction has been in place since the beginning of time, and it leads to disengagement, poor receptivity to feedback, and decreased resourcefulness towards results. Once this safety response is activated, you can't fight it. You can only prevent it. And this is what inspiring accountability aims to do: provide a better solution than the traditional and triggering accountability approach, and instead get results in a way that maximizes engagement, receptiveness to feedback, and resourcefulness toward results. We do this by working with what makes us human, instead of trying to fight it. We can't expect it to be appealing to accept blame if it means proclaiming incompetence. Until taking accountability becomes a productive choice that results in a positive experience, there isn't an incentive for the safety-seeking, competence-protecting creature brain to eagerly volunteer. If you want to inspire accountability, you must work with what makes us human to get better results. Let's look at how we can do that by exploring a breakdown of the most common synonyms of accountability in the workplace, and then we'll look at better solutions to get improved employee performance. Inspiring accountability is not taking responsibility or proclaiming fault to end a blame game, compliance, or ownership. So first, we're going to go ahead and look at taking responsibility to end a blame game. Well, taking responsibility for one's actions is associated with a maturity and respect. The majority of workplace cultures don't make this a safe choice for the employee's self-protective creature brain. When taking responsibility is required to end a search for who's at fault, the creature brain has already triggered its safety system response. We get defensive. We protect ourselves. This classic fight, freeze, or flight response actually minimizes the use of the rational brain to prioritize instead aspects that physically support fighting or fleeing, like muscles, not usually important in solving a missed deadline. This means the rational part of the brain, the one that can best help create needed solutions in times of missed results, is temporarily offline. Engagement, receptiveness, and resourcefulness are essentially out of reach, making the sought-after admission of fault a destructive deed instead of a generative choice. The need for others to take accountability or responsibility comes up only when leadership is focused on problems and not solutions. So how does one approach taking responsibility more productively? By facilitating employees to be responsible for the solution instead of the problem. So our inspiring accountability solution. Here's the question. If you could get a better result without needing to know who's to blame or what happened, would that be okay? Most managers' creature brains don't see it as safe to let an employee off the hook so easily. How will they learn if they don't feel the depth of the destruction of their actions, usually communicated through disappointment, anger, or frustration? Fear does indeed motivate, but that motivation comes with destructive consequences. Employees don't need to endure guilt, blame, or shame to motivate improvement. As mentioned before, guilt and its related companions actually become triggering impediments to better solutions and future results. Focusing on the past and what went wrong may seem like a necessary step to understand the problem and prevent it in the future. But similar to Albert Einstein's suggestion that you can't solve a problem with the same thinking that created the problem, teams and leaders that focus on the problem are stuck in the same thinking that created the problem. And to cite someone behind me at a rare appearance I made at a sports game, that's going to take you to Nowheresville, USA. Do you want your employees' attention and energy stuck in the unchangeable past, exploring what didn't work, or engaged exploring what can be improved and done better? Which option better inspires engagement and is more likely to productively improve results? When employees don't have to undergo blame and shame before contributing to solutions, dignity is kept intact, along with engagement, receptiveness, and resourcefulness. With inspiring accountability, we similarly skip over spending time and energy on what not to do and move directly to the effort, what we can do and will do to more productively get the result. In conclusion, when your company's mindset is possibility thinking, leaders and employees move quickly past what's in the way to what's possible. Inspiring Accountability's results model is designed to guide productive accountability conversations that spend little time in what's in the way and move swiftly to a question like, given that we didn't get the result the first time, what can we do to get it now or in the future? We can actually skip the blame game, keeping everyone at the table engaged and resourceful toward solutions by not getting stuck in what got in the way and instead focusing on what's possible. So when it comes to wanting employees to take responsibility, consider if you can actually just start thinking about what's possible instead of requiring them to proclaim their incompetence or proclaim they're at fault. If you're focusing on the possibilities, you'll actually move to the solution much quicker without putting the employee's creature brain at risk and triggering that fight, freeze, or flight response. So now let's move to our second accountability synonym, compliance. When it comes to complaints about employee accountability, I often hear statements like these. He is not doing what he's supposed to do. She is not being accountable for participating in this new initiative. The executives made the decision, and my team is not on board, so they're not doing it. Compliance is a classic traditional accountability tool, resting on the weight of something equivalent to, because I said so. While you can use your hierarchical power to demand compliance, more often than not, the disempowering context creates resentment and resistance. Leaders end up frustrated, and both sides can become passive-aggressive. I know you know what I mean. Compliance may seem like an accountability problem, but an accountability conversation is not the solution. What's needed is a buy-in conversation. Of course, not everyone will agree on executive decisions. We can't expect that. But to inspire accountability, we must share new expectations in a way that minimizes resistance and maximizes receptiveness. When you create directives without a conversation to support understanding and buy-in, you're creating a team of executors, not innovators. Disempowered executors cope by moving into malicious obedience, saying phrases like, "I just do what my manager tells me to do," or "I didn't think to try that because no one told me to." These employees are underutilized and abdicate accountability because we can only be accountable for what we're empowered to do. If you're creating executors by excluding the empowerment and respect that comes with a buy-in conversation, you'll spend your days fruitlessly fighting for results. So instead, when a decision or new methodology isn't immediately and cheerfully adopted, here is the time to get curious about what's in the way. Get curious about what's in the way of employees more eagerly and easily complying. You are entitled to use your hierarchical power to enforce demands, but it's a lot more useful to include and understand those that need to execute it. Perhaps they have concerns about yet-to-be-addressed negative impacts. Perhaps they have unanswered questions on how to practically meet expectations. Maybe a little contribution context, explaining the difference this change will make and why it's important, will help their brain prioritize it differently. These conversations take a small amount of time compared to the significant return on results you'll leverage moving forward. You'll likely learn valuable aspects about what's in the way that you can now incorporate into a way forward using the Inspiring Accountability Results Model, which you can find more information about and look at that model at inspiringaccountability.com. So how do you get employee buy-in? If you feel there's a lack of compliance, there's likely a lack of buy-in, contribution context, or clarity. As excerpted from my book, Inspiring Accountability in the Workplace, here are some prompts to have a productive buy-in conversation. 1, are the expectations clear enough? And how will you know for sure? 2, Do employees know exactly how to contribute successfully? How can they explore what behavior is needed before the moment it's needed? 3, have you discussed what's in the way of successfully achieving the desired result or expectation? If you don't know what's in the way, it remains a hidden obstacle. Only when excuses are brought to light do they become part of navigating to the solution.
4, have you discussed, given what's in the way, what's possible? We too often get stuck at what's in the way, allowing these challenges to justify ceasing effort. The brain may not even consider how to persevere without this prompt.
5, do employees know their first action step? When we know how to start, we can begin an active effort and avoid anxious effort. 6, when and how will you revisit to calibrate their effort? Accountability always requires revisiting. The brain's accountability attention is only activated when the employee believes their effort will be revisited, calibrated against the desired result, and redirected or redesigned as needed. Plus, this is how you get better results more efficiently and effectively. These 6 aspects of an effective buy-in conversation are all built into Inspiring Accountability's results model. Adapt the results model to have a buy-in conversation to understand better what's in the way of your employee buying in, taking action, and shifting quickly from asking what's in the way to what's possible. You can learn everything about how to have an effective results conversation in the Inspiring Accountability in the Workplace book. It's available as a paperback, ebook, and audiobook on Amazon. Up next, let's explore our final synonym of accountability, ownership, and what we can do instead to get the engagement and results that we really want. One of accountability's popular synonyms is ownership, as in, I need my employees to take more ownership. You may want employees to own outcomes. However, asking employees to take greater ownership without greater specificity can be destructive. However, asking employees to take greater ownership without greater specificity can be destructive. Outside of employee-owned companies, employees are not owners or executives. Employees don't have as much at stake. Their lower compensation indicates their lesser impact and ownership. It's unhelpful and frustrating to expect employees to care and sacrifice as much as those higher up on the ownership ladder. It can create confusion, discouragement, and resentment to insist on cultivating a feeling of ownership when employees are rarely empowered enough to take initiative and make decisions without being overridden or undermined by higher-ups. Even if an employee does take ownership, you might find that translates to having a difficult or obstinate employee. Do you know an employee that acts like they're the owner, makes decisions without consulting management, and takes great pride and responsibility in their work? These employees get resentful if the decisions they owned aren't upheld. They get frustrated and discouraged if their work, of which they took ownership, wasn't actually what management wanted and gets disregarded or criticized. Everyone can't be owners unless everyone's empowerment is equal. So what is the Inspiring Accountability solution to ownership? Well, when I hear leaders say they want employees to take more ownership, it's a red flag that, either, the leader is not productively holding the employee accountable, which would address symptoms like poor engagement or follow-through, or employees do not have a sense that they are empowered, which would address symptoms like poor initiative, decisiveness, or action. A lack of ownership often indicates a lack of empowerment. In my experience as a leadership consultant, the amount of empowerment needed is often not supported within the structures of office hierarchy. So if the amount of empowerment needed is unrealistic or unavailable, then ownership is not the problem or the solution. There is a specific desired behavior that can serve as a more productive way to describe the issue. Requesting more ownership is not a clear enough request to inform the employee what to do differently or how to be successful. So here's how you can begin to provide clear expectations. Start by clarifying the specific change you want to see. Change the generalized word ownership to an actionable accountability anchor, a clearly defined desired result that an employee works toward and by which a leader calibrates the employee's success. With an accountability anchor, a leader can effectively anchor the employee to a clear expectation, continuously closing the distance between the actual result and the desired result. You can create an actionable expectation by filtering your desired result through the accountability anchor conversion checklist. There is an entire chapter in Inspiring Accountability in the Workplace dedicated to creating clear expectations, but here is the distilled high-level overview. 1. Identify the desired result. 2. Is there a clear moment of achievement? If there really isn't, and it's still a little too vague, look for the first place that you'll know that they're being successful or on the right track. 3, is it achievable within 3 months or less? 4, is it stated as what you want, not as stopping what you don't want? When we state things that we actually want the employee to stop, there's an extra delay or lag as their brain focuses on what not to do before it figures out what to do. You want to state the change that you want in terms of the behavior you want to see. It will simply just make it easier for the brain to focus on and deliver on that more accurately. 5, what are the actionably clear expectations and specifications? If you find yourself sometimes forgetting to include certain specs, or you find they're not asking enough questions, you can start maintaining an ACEs, or actionably clear expectations and specifications list, to help them essentially have a checkbox of what they know is needed. And this should save you from employees coming back and saying, oh, I didn't know it needed to be like that, or I didn't know I needed to include that. 6, what is the contribution context? Contribution context is where you provide the context to why what they're doing matters. How is it contributing positively, and to what result? In general, we're just more motivated to do what someone else wants us to do when we understand why it actually matters, because then it matters to us. We are built to have a little bit of that what's in it for me. So yes, you can use the fact that you're the boss to force them to do something, but you're going to get a lot better results and keep morale and engagement high if you can help them understand why this change matters. And 7, is it confirmed in writing? If the new expectation is not in writing, then you are bound to have an accountability fallout when there's a disagreement about who remembered what aspects of what's expected. If you're needing to instill a little more accountability with an employee, starting by having things inarguably clear in writing is the best place to start. You can use these questions to replace a desire for ownership with clear expectations that will help you move more efficiently and effectively to get the results you need. If you want the full guide on creating clear expectations through this accountability anchor conversion checklist, I offer that as a free download if you subscribe. So you can just go to this blog post on my website. It's in the What Does Accountability Mean 3-part series, and go to that 3rd blog post on ownership, and you'll be able to download a copy of the full checklist with the prompting questions that we didn't include here today. So in conclusion, there are many synonyms for accountability referenced in the workplace, and now you can shift your vocabulary and approach to inspire accountability and productively get better performance from your team. Next time you're tempted to think of your accountability challenges as taking responsibility, compliance, or ownership, come back to this podcast or read the article series online for more effective approaches to getting the results that you really want. For a full set of inspiring accountability resources, pick up your copy of Inspiring Accountability in the Workplace, available as a paperback, ebook, and audiobook on Amazon. So what do you think? I'd love to hear from you. Share your questions or experience in the comments section, if there is one on the platform you're using, or go ahead and jump to my website, find the blog series, and share your experience. And that's it for this episode today on what does accountability mean in the workplace, and more accurately, what doesn't it mean, and what can you do instead to get better results? It's been said, if you want to change something, you have to change something. What intention can you create to do something small, something doable, but something different to create that change that you want to see in your workplace? Just remember, leaders who motivate create moments, and leaders who inspire create momentum. I'm your host, Elena Noel, and thank you for joining me. If you have ideas for other podcast episodes, please feel free to reach out to me. I would love to hear from you. Get more resources at inspiringaccountability.com.